Previously on WFOD.
So did they press charges?
The babies? No, they're dead.
No, they're dead, drunk. Internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined by my co-host Napier and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
How's everybody?
You don't seem so chipper without interruptions.
What are you talking about?
They should have like played more songs.
You think?
That would have gotten your creative juices flowing.
My creative juices are at an all-time high, baby.
You reek of sarcasm.
I do not.
You have stink lines with sarcasm coming out of it.
I am excited because I think I've found like how we're going to make our money. You seen these boxes that they're doing? Like the boxes that like you could sign up for a subscription and then they just send you a box of bullshit every month?
Like Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
Use my promo code and it gives me $5. I'll tweet it out later.
You get a kickback if people use your specific thing. Does everybody have their own thing?
Everybody has their own thing that signs up, and if you get somebody to sign up under you, you get $5.
So you're on this thing?
Oh, yes. If four people sign up underneath you, then you get a free month.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at it, and they got a whole bunch of them. They got this. My favorite one is they have a t-shirt one, and it's like $25 a month. You sign up for this thing. And they just mail you a t-shirt. You don't pick out a t-shirt. They just pick one for you. I mean, like, where is there... you can go to millions and millions of websites and pick out all the t-shirts you want for $10 a piece.
Yeah, but
why would you pay $25 to get a t-shirt you might not like?
They don't give you three t-shirts? It's just one t-shirt a month?
I thought it was one t-shirt a month. You just sign up for the t-shirt of the month club. They have sock clubs. You can sign up and they'll send you a pair of socks every month for maybe, like $10.
Maybe they're supposed to be gifts for people you don't really like.
You sign them up for the Sock of the Month Club?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine that if you get like a subscription to like the Sock of the Month Club or something, that's probably somebody that could not think of anything better to get you.
You might as well just send them a Christmas card that says, fuck you.
Napier, so you do this? The boxes of stuff that comes to you?
No.
You don't?
No. Because I might not like the things that are inside them.
Travis does it, though.
What does he get?
Travis, do you get good stuff? Do you think it's worth your money, or is it just fun to get things in the mail?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, this last month, it was the first month that I actually got that Loot Crate, and it came with, like, an exclusive variant Rocket Raccoon number one comic book, a pair of Deadpool socks, a Joker / Loki mashup t-shirt, a button, a DVD, another pin, and then like a book.
I would get
and a poster.
I saw the Attack on Titan one. I'd totally get that t-shirt.
A pair of Deadpool socks?
I'd get those too, yeah.
Deadpool dress socks.
I'd buy me some Deadpool dress socks. Can you buy just the socks?
No.
I imagine there's probably people that get the Loot Crate and say, I don't like such and such. I'm going to resell it on the eBays or something.
It's instantly on eBay. You can go on eBay right now and they're just selling the whole Loot Crate box, like just broke open to look at it. And then it's like, here you go. We'll sell this to you for $25.
Right.
Which turns a profit for the person that signed up for the subscription.
It's a pretty good deal, actually.
It is a good deal.
But it's not... It's 1337. People are posting it. Oh, God, it's only 1337. But don't they hit you for, like, another $7 shipping and handling?
It's $20. If you sign up, though, if you sign up, they always have a promo code going, so you get 10% off of your, like, whole order. But, yeah, it's $20, essentially, a month, but it's at least $30 to $40 worth of stuff.
Napier, what would be in the Napier crate? Like, if people start this subscription today... For the Napier crate, what's in it? Describe to our listeners what they can expect if they sign up for a monthly subscription.
Well, it would take a lot of thought, you know, from me personally to make each and every box.
What's the price point, first of all? Let's say $20 a month. For $20 a month, you can sign up for the Napier crate.
I don't think $20 a month is enough for what I would put in that box.
You don't?
No.
I mean, you're probably going to make some of your homemade jerky.
No, no, no.
No?
No. Every week.
Oh, okay.
But not every week. Every month. You'll get a box. And this
every
box.
Every week?
Every month.
Oh, okay. Every month.
Every month, you pay me $50, and I send you a box. And it's whatever I come across that I feel is the living embodiment of disappointment. It could be a photo. It could be... It could be like,
photo?
Yeah, it could
like you're going to take photographs and then go down to the Kodak copier and make enough copies to send everyone this photo.
Yeah, it'll be like going to like the World Series of like the Little League World Series and like getting a photo of all the runner up kids' dads with a big picture of them next to them says second place and all their disappointed little fucking faces. Yeah, it'll be shit like
send
that.
Send them a red ribbon.
Yeah. And each month you can be disappointed too in what you got.
I guarantee you that would sell. I guarantee it.
The Napier crate?
You'd have to call it something else like that went with the disappoint. Well, I guess Napier works.
But there was one, and this one was great. It was men's clothes, and someone will... It's $69 a month, and every month they'll send you an outfit.
Like just a random outfit?
They pick you at, you tell them like, you know, what size you are and like kind of, you know, what your style is. And then they pick you out an outfit. And I imagine what they probably do is there's probably a company that like sends them like an obnoxious amount of something. They buy them in bulk and then they send it out to all the dumb shits who can't dress themselves and say, here, this is fashion.
That one you can send back, though, can't you?
Can you? If you don't like it?
Yeah, I think that one you can actually send back if you don't like it.
I usually just, like, go to the store with my girlfriend, and, like, I pick up a pair of pants, and I say, I kind of like these pants. And she says no, and then I don't buy those pants.
You know, like, burlap sacks that potatoes come in?
Yeah.
I would just send them a photo of a burlap sack of potatoes.
Right.
And let
in see, black and white
in
to
black
look
and
more
white.
Disappointing.
Yeah, and it's got to have holes in it, you know, okay. so I can fit through my legs. I'll
oh,
just,
this is a pair of pants.
Yeah, they'll like a whole onesie,
a it burlap just, onesie.
Yeah, burlap onesie, and I'm going to see if they're brazen enough to go out every month and purchase me a nickel worth of burlap.
Another thing I think should go in the Napier crate. I think that every month you should take. Like a sexy photograph that's like themed for something in the month. like you know, in November, you know, you can dress up like a sexy turkey.
Ooh. That could be cool.
And you know, like maybe in October you could be like a sexy ghost.
Oh, I could be
1 month you should just be a fireman because I just think that would be I mean, you know, a good maybe July because there's probably a lot of fires in July with
I like the November one that Napier is laying completely naked in like a giant cornucopia and the only thing covering his privates are like pumpkins and shit, like maybe some corn.
I like that. Yeah, like the platter O Napier.
Right.
For Black History Month, can I dress up as Edward Norton from American History X?
We need to hire a photographer, like a good, classy photographer, and we need to make the 12 months of Napier calendar.
That would be sexy
and
as shit.
We need to like sell it for, I mean, probably a lot because I mean, not, just like a typical. This isn't just your typical everyday $10 calendar. Fuck that.
No, that's a $25-$30 calendar at
least.
Right,
right. The 12 months of Napier, that's a sexy-ass calendar that you're going to want to put on your desk. And
hey, and listen, if you sign up for 12 months of the Nape Crate, you get a free calendar.
Oh, Travis, you're genius.
We're doing it here, guys.
Fucking genius. Okay, so the Nape Crate for a year subscription, we're thinking what?
Well, we're going to have to
$79.95.
No, for a year?
No, you got to do more than that, because I think I paid for 3 months for that Loot Crate. I think I paid almost $55, $60, something like that.
Right, right. Okay, so we do the Napier Crate for a year subscription, and then at the end of the year, your Christmas present, your bonus, is the 12 months of Napier calendar.
Can you do me a favor, though?
What's that?
For this 12 months of Napier calendar, what we'll have is we'll have, like, each month we'll post, like, this month's what it should be photo. And when they actually get the calendar, it'll just be a beige waterbed, like, dressed up to look like that. And when anybody complains, like, dude, you just sent me a calendar of all these beige water mattresses. Just be like, dude, that's really fucked up. This guy has feelings.
What we should do is the beige waterbed.
Yeah.
We should also, like, shave a cat on it. Because I feel if they don't get enough body hair, then they're going to be disappointed.
I think so, too.
So what's new with you guys? Napier, how was your first week of married life?
It was great. I played lots of hockey.
Yeah?
And I got to be distant from my loved one.
See, I'm kind of thinking, like, when Dan comes back from his weeks off from the Furnacast, it's probably just going to turn into a bunch of dad humor. Like, he's going to talk about his kids a lot. Because that's what new dads talk about a lot, right, is their kids. That's all they talk about. So I figured, like, you would just start in with, like, the, you know, the marriage jokes. You don't have any good marriage jokes? Like, take my wife, please. Nothing like that? Nothing?
Not yet. I mean,
classic.
That's a good one, right?
That is a good one.
We still haven't fallen into that. We're together for the kids, and once they, you know, move out from college, we're going to go into, like, a weird sort of RV life where we're just trolling around the country looking for snatch.
In RVs?
Yeah, in, like, RVs.
You as a couple are going to search out a girlfriend?
No, we're just going to search out, like, strange. Like, going to different towns looking for snatch.
Like, to have your three-way fantasies with?
No, we're just going to photograph them.
Oh. And add them to your collection?
No.
Like, when you go into the bathroom, you just tape them all up to the wall?
No, we're just going to, like, throw them at truck drivers and...
Throw the pictures?
Yeah, so, you know, they have...
That's a pleasant gift. Maybe you could put those in the Napier crates.
Is it weird that I absolutely think that Napier has a room in his house that's just black and white photographs of Snatch that he's taken, like, just plastered all over? Like, the windows are blacked out, and you have to turn on one single light in the middle of the room to see all of it, but it's all black and white photos of Snatch.
Sir, you're greatly overestimating the amount of Snatch I've had in my life. But yeah, just on the off chance one of the girls that we take photos of, like, ends up missing, and they're like her photo is plastered all around this truck.
They'd have
driving.
To identify her by her snatch.
Yeah, and then, you know, they're going around.
Have
looking
you seen
for
this
her.
Girl? And you say, do you have a picture of her snatch?
Like, oh, I remember seeing that. That was plastered all over, like, the I-18 truck center. Like, oh, God, we got to look for this truck driver.
Napier pulls out his binder that he's got in the back seat, and he starts flipping through the pages, being like, oh, yep, that one matches. I think I have seen her. That was about 100 miles back.
This one's scratch and sniff. You have no idea how hard I worked to get it to be like this. I mixed several different kinds of salmon and, like, sprayed it at the photo.
You let it sit in your hot car for a while first, though.
Yeah, and then, of course, I had to pee on it a little because, you know, you got to get that vinegar scent going.
Because that's where the pee comes from.
Did you see the thing about the pee?
What about the pee?
That the pee is good for plants and that they need to start saving pee?
No, that's not true. I pissed on my grandma's plant for years and it died real quick.
Yeah, that's bullshit because I piss on my lawn all the time and it's constantly got fucking dead spots.
Dude, they say that the pee has, like, all kinds of compounds in it and that you can use it for fertilizer and that people should start saving their pee. I've been saying that for years. I've been saying that, like, we should find something to use all this stuff for because, I mean, we're just flushing it. We're wasting water to flush it. And, like, you know, we could just find something to do with it.
Well, if that were true, my neighbor's yard. What with would be all great dogs,
is if we could somehow find a way to get pee to fuel our cars.
I was just thinking that. That's a genius idea. And you, I guarantee you that somebody out there is smart enough to figure out how to make that work.
I couldn't do that.
Piss in your gas tank?
No, I mean, unless the thing also runs on blood.
It's like a renewable source. You can just keep making pee and make all of your plants grow with pee. Because what did it have in it? I don't remember what it said. Fucking
ammonia, nitrates. What else is in pee other than my blood?
Pee cycling is the term they use. Pee cycling. You pee in the toilet and then you just like flush it and then it's gone. But I mean, you could be like save it over time. Just have like a big pee jar with like an airtight seal so that it doesn't make your house smell like pee. And you just collect your pee for like a week. And then, like, when the trash guy comes every week to get your trash and your recycling, he can pick up your pee jar and, like, drop you off another pee jar. And then they can take all that pee to a plant, and they can dump it all into a big pee vat, and they can sell it to farmers.
You literally could not pay me enough money to go around to every neighborhood in my area and pick up old 1 gallon milk jugs full of the family's piss.
Think of all the water we'd be saving, though. You wouldn't even have to use water anymore to, like, put on the plants. You could just use all the pee.
Well, I mean, pee is liquid. I mean, it just goes back.
I would do that job. You wouldn't do that job? If they paid me, like, a good... garbage men make pretty good money, don't they? I imagine, like, pee men would have to make way more.
They don't. This job exists. It's called the septic guys. They come and if you don't have city water, you have to have your septic tank pumped every couple of years. And they put a giant hose and it sucks it into a giant truck. And then they go and spread it all over a field.
There was a friend of mine a really long time ago. We would go and hang out in his parents' basement. And he had like a real nice like man cave set up down in his basement. And like he had a pool table and we'd all go over there and drink beers and hang out and stuff. And his parents didn't want us coming upstairs and bothering them because, like, you know, we were all downstairs and they were kind of out of the way. And so he created a system where, you know, like the thing that like a washing machine drains into.
Yeah.
It's like a pipe.
Like the sump pump.
Everybody would just go pee in the pipe that the washing machine drained out of. And that was just the way that we did it. And I think that if more people developed systems like that, only maybe just like, you know, the pipe collected it, maybe we could have a whole thing. We could change the world, Napier. We need to send out some kind of documentation or something on our plans for the pee cycling in the Nape crates.
You could probably get a grant for this idea if you really put some real thought into it.
We could go pitch it. Is there like a government version of Shark Tank that we could go on and plead our case to maybe get some funding for this?
I do. I think you just put a portfolio together and then you just send it to these grant offices.
As funding goes, what do we really need? We just need some jars that you can close up and we need to give one to everyone.
Just get some growlers, like you can go to those breweries and buy like a growler of beer. Everybody just gets one of those.
Yeah. And then I guess we would need a couple because, you know, people would need to pee in it, or like if they had a busy week. I'm sure there's some people that pee more than others and there's bigger families and stuff. You might
not. Yeah. I have a household of four people, so it's going to take a lot more than just one of those.
Right. And I guess the other problem, we would also have to get the ladies like some she-wees so that they can aim more. Right. You know, they could target better. Because they're more of a spray, aren't they? I mean, you couldn't like, get them. You probably couldn't get them to, like, jam that thing up to their hoo and, like...
Like putting it in their pee hole?
Well, I mean, like, you know, like, when you pee in, like, a 20-ounce bottle while you're driving when you don't
know.
No,
I don't know anything about that.
Like, you can't necessarily get, like, your whole dickhead into the hole of the bottle, but you could kind of, like, press it up to the right area and just hope for the best.
No, when I have to piss, I go to a gas station.
Is if you have to piss more than 20 ounces. And, I mean, like, see, since you're concentrating on the road, sometimes you can't necessarily like look down and see how close you are. You just kind of got to judge it by feel.
Jim in chat real quick, he said that we should combine both ideas and send out piss in the nape crate.
Yeah, just one day, a box full of piss.
There's your disappointment.
Just send out like a sun-kissed bottle of piss.
And a picture and of just, you pissing in it.
Just write on it in Sharpie marker, for the plants. This nape crate idea is getting better and better.
I like it.
I mean,
like
we're fertilizing plants.
We're sending pictures of disappointment to people.
Seriously, Napier, I have like a couple of our listeners' addresses.
Yeah.
Just from various dealings and whatnot. We're just going to send out a couple of these nape crates.
And some tests.
Some tests. And hopefully we get like some feedback that we can use in like some testimonials and stuff.
You have to put the comment card right in it.
I mean, we can't just put up a website and say, buy the nape crate. We promise it'll be neat.
No, we promise disappointment.
We need to create buzz is what we need to do. We need I can donate like maybe like a t-shirt with like, you know, something that you come up with on it. Like, you know, you could draw like a little picture and like write words under it, and we'll make some nape crate t-shirts. What's on the picture? I know you smiled, you had an idea.
Yeah. Just,
okay, what's on the t-shirt?
As a special gift to all of our Mississippi residents, we'll just in the nape crate for all the residents of Mississippi, it's just going to be a photo of like a black man marrying a white woman. I think this will go over great.
That's and then it'll just say nape crate.
Yeah. It'll just say like
TM nape crate TM,
or it'll have like some Doctor Who stuff in there. And it says a picture from the future. And it looks like the person's kid.
Can we send out promo codes for faxcasts.com?
What was that other one? Our website where we were...
Oh, Doppelbangers?
Yeah.
Doppelbangers.com?
Doppelbangers, yes.
Right.
That way, you know, if you know they're kind of into that, they can get a picture of themselves having sex with a black man.
We could send out pieces of the script for Concrete Jungle.
Ooh. Oh... You know, we have a interview that we're going to be getting to in a minute, and I don't want to, you know, spoiler alert her here. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but I tried really hard to pitch her into helping us with Concrete Jungle, the movie, and I don't think she was very receptive. I don't think she's going to help us.
Ooh, 1 month we can send out little, like, USB flash drives with that Deadpool test trailer on it, and... It inscribed into the little USB flash drive, this is never going to fucking happen. Just watch it like, oh, that's great. What does it say on the little...
It's great, though.
I'll contribute, too. I'm going to go to Goodwill and buy up all of the whatever books for dummies, but they're all going to be, like, outdated, like, how to use Windows Millennium Edition for dummies.
Oh, and we can
and
do...
And buy some cassette tapes. Buy as many copies of Vanilla Ice's To the Extreme album as you can. We're going to send cassette tapes of Vanilla Ice...
And him. Richard Marx.
Oh, yeah, some Richard Marx.
Like
do you remember, like, 2 years ago when we tried to start a feud with Richard Marx?
Yeah, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
No.
Because when Richard Marx gets mad at you, then he like, calls you and stuff. And we thought it'd be cool if Richard Marx called and yelled at us.
Oh, let's talk to Richard Marx.
Can we do movie tie-ins? Like, let's say they make a new Mario Brothers movie. With John Leguizamo and that fat fuck.
Oh, well, he's dead, Bob Hoskins, so they're not going to make another one with him.
Okay, well, some other fat dude like, you know, John Candy or...
John Candy's also dead.
Chris Farley.
Jim Belushi.
Chris Farley's dead. Jim Belushi, yeah, dead. Or is Jim Belushi alive and John
Belushi?
Jim Belushi,
he's dead to me.
Yeah. Might as well be dead, right?
Yep.
John Goodman.
John Goodman's alive.
Yeah.
Would probably be a shitty Mario, though.
Yes, he would. And what we'll do, we'll send out... you remember those old Nintendo cartridges?
What if that Luis Guzman guy was Mario? He'd be a fun Mario, right?
Oh, I could see him as Mario. He's a little too Hispanic.
Yeah. No, we'll get the fluffy guy instead. What's his name?
No, you shut your fucking mouth. The fluffy guy.
The fluffy guy. Fuck that guy.
Sir, how can you say that his material is original and the greatest?
Man, I'll tell you what. You couldn't get on Twitter a couple of weeks ago without 10 promoted tweets from the fluffy guy. That guy was fucking driving me nuts.
Who the fuck does that guy think he is? He recorded a stand-up special like everybody else does.
Right.
And he's going to release it to theaters as like a major release? The fucking... Well, that guy sucks.
And his whole marketing thing was tying into, you know, all of the people who watch Last Comic Standing. I mean, like, how many... Is Last Comic Standing setting the world on fire? Is there, like, so many people watching Last Comic Standing that you just have to get in on that market? Like, oh my God, how can I get a piece of the action on the outrageous support for Last Comic Standing Season 9 or whatever? They're like on their 10th set of hosts, and they're like 10th set of judges.
What network is that even on?
I think it's on NBC. NBC, like, J.B.
Yeah.
Smoove is the host.
Yeah.
J.B. Smoove, like, every time he talks, he, like, puts, like, a fake laugh on the end. Like, he'll say, "And now the judges have decided." Ha ha ha! And he does it every single time he talks.
That's too bad, because that dude is super funny.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's really funny. But on that, he's a terrible host on that show. He just drives me nuts. He's like, "And now for the next challenge that the remaining five have to do." Ha ha ha! Like, why are you doing that? Stop it! Just talk.
I would hate to watch that show. Have you ever been in a room with somebody who tried to make a joke?
And Dyslex in the chat, his whole marketing is, "I'm fat." You're wrong. His whole marketing is, "I'm not fat. I'm fluffy." He said that one thing 10 years ago that wasn't even really particularly that funny. And like one person laughed at it. Like, "Ah, you're not fat. You're fluffy. That's a good one." And like his whole act is centered around that one joke. Like, people go to see the fluffy guy so that he says, like when you go see Jim Gaffigan so that he does the Hot Pockets bit.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do the Hot Pockets bit. Like, that is the Gallagher's whacking a watermelon of...
Yeah. Or the Jeff Foxworthy's "You Might Be a Redneck" if...
Right. "I'm not fat, guys. I'm fluffy."
Or listening to Larry the Cable Guy make fun of Muslims and black people.
And then sell you his chips or the Prilosec 79 or whatever bullshit.
Oh wait, don't forget SlimFast. Wasn't he doing SlimFast commercials? Oh,
was
no,
he,
Weight Watchers or
was
something.
Was he doing Weight Watchers?
He was doing like a Weight Watchers, I think it was.
Yeah.
Have you even touched your hoe garden? Napier's taking off his headphones. Napier's
is that the banana bread beer?
No, it's not. I think Napier's gonna like drink the whole thing. What do you think?
It's not bad.
Not bad, huh? I ever tell you
that's
about
pleasant.
Yeah, great. Now Anchor's gonna leave.
Do it again. Do it again.
Just kidding, Anchor. Do you guys want to go to break?
So let's go to break.
We can play our interview
with a very delightful lady.
You don't remember her name, do you?
It's Christine.
Christine Byes.
Byes, that's how it was pronounced. That's right.
Right. We will be back in a little bit. Enjoy this.
I was more disappointed when I found out wrestling wasn't real than when I found out Santa wasn't real. And then when I found out Jesus wasn't real, shit, dude.
Here at Sonic Blasphemy, we are an equal opportunity offender.
Corn muffins!
Motherfuckers.
You're full of shit.
I'm just an asshole, I guess.
I almost shit my fucking diggers.
We're totally naked right now.
There's lots of back hair in this room.
What the fuck?
We want our Dutch rudder. And this is why I'm a terrible person.
For more audio syncratic insanity, check us out on the interwebs at www.sb3pod.com. RadioFubar.com, iTunes, and Stitcher.
If she wants to dance and drink all night, well, there's no one that can stop her. She's going till the house lights come up or
Welcome back. Tonight we're joined by Christine Baez, the writer and director of an anti-romantic comedy short film called Divorce Photographer. To check out the project, go to tinyurl.com/divorcepics.
I ran across your Kickstarter campaign, and I really like the premise because it's different, and I feel like it's something that we haven't seen before, which, well, I mean, nowadays is like rare. You know, it seems like you just kind of recycle the same thing. You see it over and over again. And I wanted to talk to you because I like the idea, but then I saw your reel on your website, and now I have a vested interest in this being good because I want us to be best friends so you can help me make my giant tiger movie.
You have a tiger movie?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Godzilla and Pacific Rim, they were big hits, and so now we need to make more movies with giant things destroying cities. And your reel was really impressive. I thought you had kind of like a neat style, and so now you need to help us.
All right. Well, you're just going to have to fly me to wherever you are.
Right. Abandon your dreams and just get on board with us.
All right. I'll get on that tomorrow.
So where did you come up with this idea? I guess we should actually get into what the idea is first.
Sure. But... yeah. So I actually am a photographer is my kind of my main background. That's what I studied in college and what I started out as. And I always kind of shot weddings on the side. It was never really my main thing, but, you know, it was always good money on the side.
Friends said, "Hey, you're a photographer. Will you shoot my wedding?"
Actually, I started out by working with other professional photographers. I was an assistant or a second shooter for them.
Right.
And then I kind of learned the ropes that way. And then eventually I said, "Hey, I can actually, you know, I'm confident enough to do this on my own." So I was doing it for a little while. And like I said, it was never really my 100% focus, my 100% passion. But, you know, it was, like I said, good money on the side. And I did a good job at it. So people were willing to pay me. So basically, I started to kind of move away from shooting weddings once I started to get more into filmmaking a few years ago. And I just had so much on my plate and I kind of had to cut back on a few things. And around that time, I was just brainstorming with a friend, to be honest. And I have kind of my group of people that I work with that I love to work with. And we were just kind of throwing ideas around. And I just said, what if somebody asked me to shoot their divorce? And that was the beginning of the idea. And it just sort of spiraled. It was one of those things your brain lights up and it spirals into all these other what if questions. You know, when you're brainstorming any idea, I think you come up with a lot of ideas, like put it that way. I have many, many ideas for many different projects, but this was one that just really stuck. Like it wouldn't leave me alone, basically. So the question kept on coming back into my head and kept on coming back. And it's stayed with me to this day. So basically, eventually, I wrote the first draft of the short film. And then I started to workshop it around. People really liked it. People really responded to it. They loved the idea. They loved the concept. And it always got people really excited too, because whenever I did like a staged reading or anything, people would basically say, "Oh, well, what if you did this? And what if you did that?" So it really got people talking, which was great. Over the years, it's developed and it's just kind of gone further and further along those lines.
Well, like, I almost have to wonder if that would be like a really good marketable thing. I mean, like, you know, beyond your film, which it's a great idea, I think, as like a thing to actually try to go out and market doing. Because I mean, you have the people all the time that, you know, yeah. Why are divorces so expensive? Because they're worth it, you know? And I would imagine that there are people that would hire you to document that.
Right. Well, this is actually what I kind of want. kind of a funny story about that. And this is part of the reason I'm actually offering this. You can actually hire me as a divorce photographer through the Kickstarter campaign. And it's me sort of putting it out there like, hey, is anyone actually into this? Do you guys actually, like, are there people who actually want to do this? Because if so, please contact me and let's do it. Because, you know, in a nutshell, one of the themes of the film is, why do we only show the happy moments in life? Why don't we celebrate the difficult times in the same way we celebrate, you know, marriages and all those other things? So it's really looking at the flip side of that. And I just think, like, especially with social media now, like, we all have these very carefully crafted online personas. And we're only showing the good parts. And you get this impression of people like, oh my God, they're living the good life and all that. And it's really just like, it's not the whole story. And I think it'd be really cool if we could celebrate difficult times in our life with photography. I think that would be awesome.
No filter.
Well, even further than that, though, right? Like, you know, could people actually be comfortable with the idea of me shooting their divorce, right? I think that would be really interesting.
You know, that whole idea, I guess, that occurred to me really recently, too. My wife's grandma passed just this last week, and I kind of thought about it. I know that she had some difficult times with her husband. You know, he died many years ago, but they stayed together for the kids, and if you look at all of the pictures from their life, you would never really see any of that. And I'm sure most of the stories that she also told her grandchildren and her children were probably geared more towards the positive rather than these are the roadblocks that we faced and this is what made us stronger, you know, as a parental unit or as people in general. We got through this. I thought, like, just this week, I'm like, you know what would be really interesting is to take, you know, just like a really condensed version of somebody's life and through their difficult relationships. And like, if you could watch like a 3-hour movie of their whole life of stories that they might not have told you, just to kind of get an idea of the struggles that they went through. So I guess I completely agree with this idea.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, some of the most powerful photographs out there are actually, you know, actual photojournalists who are out covering news stories, which are obviously can be very difficult and very intense. But it's kind of like you get two extremes. You get like the news, which is often really bad photos, and then you get like people trying to gloss over their lives too much. And it's kind of like, why can't we do that middle ground where we just look at, like you said, like the whole of your life? Because nobody has a perfect life. I mean, come on, like everyone has ups, everyone has downs. And it's just like, I just keep wondering, like, why do I always hide the difficult stuff? Because if anything, that's the time you need to reach out to people. That's the time you need to be honest with your friends and say, hey, look, like, I'm going through a hard time. I need some help. Can you help me out? Can you
Have you gotten a lot of responses from people that were would actually be interested in this service, you know, outside of the like the divorce photography? Because I wonder, you know, a lot of times divorces, obviously marriages ended pretty bitterly. You know, I've only met a handful of people who were just like, you know, I think we've grown apart. I don't think this is working. You know, let's move on amicably. We'll split everything. We'll sell the house. You know, we'll move on. I wonder how many people would say, hey, you know what? Let's document this. Let's say we tried it. You know, we didn't do it. You know, let's put this on our, you know, put it in our photo album and say, you know, this is one of the roadblocks.
Be honest, I haven't had anyone take me up on my offer yet, but if anyone would like me to shoot their divorce, like I said, I'm more than willing right now because I'm really interested to see what that would turn up.
I would love to see it.
Yeah. It would definitely take a person who is open enough and willing because, you know, it is like, I acknowledge, like, it's... when you're going through a difficult event, it's hard to be like, okay, bring in the camera crew, right? but this, I like to think, you know, I would treat it with a sensitivity and it wouldn't be just kind of glorifying it. It would be just an acknowledgement because I really do think that, yes, the end of relationships sucks. You know, we've all been through breakups. It's difficult. It's painful. But at the same time, some of the times I've grown the most as a person has been after I've gone through a breakup. So it's like, it's this great opportunity for personal growth and for learning a lot about yourself and who you are. And I just think, like, in many ways, that's to be celebrated. Like, the actual going through it can suck, but it's like who you become at the end of that breakup can actually be a really positive thing.
And I think that'd be an excellent, like, piece of closure, too. I mean, you're flipping through the photo album and you happen to see a picture of your ex and, you know, it's a happy time picture and all you do is you start reminiscing on good times. You're like, why did we ever break up? And you know, if you had that closure, that piece of photography, it's like, oh yeah, you know, this is where we ended up,
right?
The staged posed shot where you're both strangling each other
or where like your hands are just not touching. You're sitting on the same couch and you kind of have your hands next to each other but they're not touching.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just saw a great film, Boyhood, and
that's the one with that's like over 13 years.
Shot over, yeah, 12 or 13 years. Oh, and yeah. Amazing, brilliant film. Probably my favorite film of the year so far. And what I love about that film is it captures that. It captures the essence of change, right? Like we all change so much over the course of our lives. And it's all about that. It's about acknowledging the positive things. And it's also about acknowledging the difficult things, right? When we don't acknowledge the difficult things we go through, I think we actually kind of, we do ourselves a disservice, basically. So I'm all for acknowledging those things. And like I said, trying to celebrate them in whatever way that you can.
I was interested in seeing that movie, but it has Ethan Hawke in it. And I don't like his face.
Oh.
His face just bothers me. He looks like a weasel man.
Okay. His face doesn't bother me, so I was okay with it. But.
And also, it'd be nice to show like a divorce party, you know, where the couple that's breaking apart gets together, has all their family and friends around, so that everybody knows who they don't have to associate.
Oh yeah, like they split up the friends and stuff.
Yeah,
they have like a draft,
like an anti-wedding.
Yeah, you've got the splitting of assets ceremony, and yeah, there's lots of stuff you could do.
Would you like put all the names in a hat, and then you have to like draw the names out of a hat, and those are the friends you get to keep?
That would be pretty funny.
And you get to show to your friends, hey, you're not together anymore, but you're also, you know, not assholes about it.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, to be honest, like all of this stuff, like this is all that stuff that, because I haven't actually gotten to do divorce photography yet, I'm kind of living out my fantasy a little bit through this film, right? I'm like writing in all these things of like, what would a divorce party be like? And what would it be like to shoot a divorce ceremony and all that stuff? So it's all in there.
So you make the film to kind of live it out and present it. It's like a presentation. You're trying to pitch the idea of something through a film.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, so far we've kind of been talking about the themes of the film, but yeah, like, you know, it's presenting this idea and answering that what if question, you know, what if we hired divorce photographers? I mean, it's obviously, it's a comedy, so it's going to be heightened and there's going to be, you know, silly moments and things like that, that are over the top. But yeah, it's all coming from that fantasy of like, what would this actually be like? What would this experience be like?
Kind of like a happy funeral.
Yeah, exactly.
I always get creeped out when people post selfies with the open casket corpse on social media.
Who is doing that?
I see that more and more, and it creeps me out every time I see it. It's very unusual. It shows up on Facebook every now. Like, really? Somebody takes a selfie with their dead grandma or something. And it's like, no, don't post that ever. I don't like it.
I can't say I've seen anybody.
Yeah, that's a trend that we don't need to make a movie.
Let's put a stop to that quickly.
So you're all for divorce photography, but not for photography.
Right? Not funeral selfies. Not
funeral selfies. Yeah, that's a bit weird.
tinyurl.com/divorcepics. Cool. So certainly go check that out. Is there like a Twitter handle or something that people can...
Yeah, divorce photog. So just the word divorce and then photog, because right. I'm not allowed divorce photographer on Twitter. It was too many characters.
Too many characters.
And then we're on Facebook. So facebook.com/divorcephotographer. And also if you just go on our website, divorcephotographermovie.com, that'll take you right to the Kickstarter right now.
And the Kickstarter ends on August 20th?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So certainly check it out before then.
Yeah, and we have lots of other really great rewards too, other than the actual divorce photography. Although, like I said, I really would love someone to hire me as a divorce photographer. we have other great rewards. We can do fake engagement photos. So if you just want to get together with your friend or your dog or someone you like and pretend to be a couple... well, that's like a smaller shoot, like a 2-hour shoot, and then your photo could end up in the movie if you want. And then we also have, you know, we've got some pretty awesome t-shirts, you know, some other swag on there. So we have everything from, you know, $1 to up to the top $1,500 reward. So there's lots of great stuff on there to check out.
So donate.
Right.
Yes, please. And please be involved, because I, you know, this really is this, I mean, I've made several films over the past few years, but this project, like I said, is the one that's kind of stuck the most. And it's the one that's also gotten the best audience response so far. And it's also a feature film that I'm developing. So the short film is going to be shot this September, which is the main thing we're raising funds for. But the feature film, I'm currently just in the rewrite process, and I'm hoping to shoot that, you know, in the next couple of years. It's as soon as I can get the financing in place. So, yeah, so it's all part of the same thing, and it's all gotten really positive responses so far. So I really, really love it if people can be a part of it.
But how do you feel about a movie with a giant tiger?
You got to make one for us to make one for yourself.
Well,
it's a giant tiger just terrorizing a city.
New York.
I'm tired of New York. No, it needs to be something like Toronto. Chicago or
yeah, how about Toronto? Toronto's never gotten destroyed in the movies.
That's right. We'll destroy Toronto with a giant tiger.
I'm a huge fan of really over the top B movies, so this concept sounds pretty awesome to me.
If you like Sharknado, Concrete Jungle is
Concrete
your cup of tea.
Jungle. Great name. See, you got to remember that movie with the little Indian kid in the boat with the that was one Indian kid in a boat with a tiger, and people were enthralled. Just imagine a giant tiger, like around a whole bunch of people
in the middle of Toronto.
You guys, you have to see it the Canadian way. It's Toronto.
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 In the middle of Toronto.
There you go. You got it. Nobody awesome. Pronounces the second T. Nobody pronounces the second T.
It just kind of trails off. It's just kind
of. Yeah, make a note of it, please. It does trail off. We're lazy. Yeah.
Well, I'm super excited to see this. I can't wait till the finished product is out.
Cool. Thank you very much. I'm excited to get it out there.
Thank you, Christine, for doing this. And,
no problem.
And hopefully some of the jackals that listen to us will contribute.
Please. We need jackals. We need as many jackals as we can get our hands on. We love you.
Cool.
Thanks so much, guys.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine.
To get a hold of the show, 309-740-1430. If you go to the top of the page and you see the number in red, if you highlight below that, you can see the black writing on the black background. It shows the shows that you could call into when they're live.
There's just a phone number hovering in space with no context. Dial this phone number, why not?
Travis, next week you're going to your thing.
My thing is this weekend. I'll be in Chicago. So if anybody's listening and they're going to be in Chicago, they should stop by the Crown Plaza at Rosemont, Illinois, and buy him a cocktail. I'll probably be lonely.
Him?
I'm going all by myself.
You? You just referred to you as him.
Who?
You said buy him a cocktail, but you mean you.
I said I'll buy them a cocktail.
Oh,
you're just going to buy people cocktails if they meet you at this place?
If they're listening, how many people do you really think are coming to Crown Plaza in Rosemont, Illinois to have a cocktail with Travis from the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program?
Obviously drunks.
Well, that's fine. Those are my peeps.
So you're going to get us all kinds of great content from that, right?
I certainly hope so. Whatever this Android Galaxy S3 can pick up, I'm going to try to trick people into giving us bumpers or something.
Yeah.
Dick pics.
Well, yeah. I'll get Robert Englund's dick pic. That's fine. I'll do that.
What do you think he'd say?
If I could get a picture of his dick?
You said, hey, Mr. Englund, do you think maybe, snap a quick picture of your Jimmy?
Hey, I paid $365 to get a picture taken with you in makeup, and I'm also spending $50 for you to autograph it. Would you, whip your dick out?
Show me that dick.
Hey, look, I got this cell phone, and you got a jank. Let's get this on.
Did you just refer to it as a jank?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How could he not show you a dick after that? Like, yeah, dude, I'm going to totally show you my jank.
So I got this news story here that we were enjoying quite a bit, but I also wanted to tell Napier that I was flipping around a little bit through the different subscription boxes that you can get.
Yeah.
And they have one that you can get the vaporizer things,
the e-juice.
Yeah, because you're into that juice vaping thing.
Do you smoke? Do you puff on like pineapple flavored? Do you get into the weird bullshit flavors?
No, I'm mixing watermelon and strawberry. It's delicious.
You got all kinds of little combinations, right?
Yeah.
But for this thing, for $15 a month, they'll send you like 2 to 4 of these things. I like how there's like it varies.
Yeah, just, you know, whatever.
They might send you 2. They might send you 4.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Hey, some of those flavors cost a lot more money to produce.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I would love to work at this place. You know, one day they're going to get like an email or like a nasty gram letter from a lawyer saying that, you know, this lovely young couple use their their product for months on end, and it kept drying her out because he kept rubbing it on his penis and using this e-juice sex jelly. And they're like, oh, well, it keeps drying out my lady's vag, but it's so addicting. I don't know what's in it. Just smearing hot nicotine all over your cooch. Getting plowed by your man. Oh, God, that'll be great. The babies will come out with dented foreheads or something really fucked up.
So somebody needs to submit that to at Napierisms, I think. Smearing hot nicotine in your cooch? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Anyway, we have a news story. Unless you want to keep going on e-juice in your vagina. Are you done with that? Or
all of my babies keep coming out with smoker's teeth. Their first two fingers are all discolored.
Okay, anyway, there's a news story. I mean, you got any more?
You got one more? No, you got one more in you.
You got one more, at least.
Little baby Elijah smells like my uncle back in the 70s.
Oh, we should have quit.
Yeah. I just can't get over this dude's fucking face.
So, this guy's on a boat, right? Blowing another dude.
Yeah.
They're blowing each other.
Way to bury the fucking lead. So a dude's blowing this guy, right, on a boat.
There's two guys out in Florida on a nude beach, right? They get in a boat, go out on a boat, and they're blowing each other.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah, I'm following you.
You're sexually adventurous, fellas. You're out on a boat. You blow each other.
Yeah,
it's romantic. If you're going to experiment sexually, what better place to do it than off on like the Florida coast on a boat?
You know, there's no other kind of sexual advance I'd like to get than when I'm walking along a nude beach and a stranger comes up to me and says, "Hey, dude, you want to come back to my boat for some blowies?"
Does Florida have nude beaches?
Apparently.
I didn't think that was a thing that happened. We don't have nude beaches here.
Yeah,
we do.
There's nude beaches everywhere.
Well, no, this is Missouri. You don't want to see anybody nude from
Missouri.
There's
nude beaches in Wisconsin?
Yeah, there's like one I know, like these people that were friends with the in-laws, I think, that they went to a nude beach like once a month in the summer or something like that. They had like buddies.
Oh,
and they all like met up.
Oh, my God. So, it must look like albino hippos like sunning themselves.
I'm sure it wasn't pleasant.
Homeboy's wife pulls up on like a jet ski, right?
Yeah.
Sees her husband blowing another dude. Kind of upset about it. I mean, a little bit.
It wasn't a porno, so she didn't say, "Can I get in on that?"
No. She was a bit angry about the situation.
No, I bet she was just laughing at him. That would make this story have way
you're
better.
You're sucking on wangers!
No, first of all, before we
yeah,
get in
there, sucking on wangers, Ted! You like the way that guy's wanger tastes?
Just started pelting him with spitballs.
So apparently everyone involved in this story is drunk.
This story, obviously, though, like right off the bat, like it just screams like a jet ski you'd see on Craigslist that hasn't been run since like 1978. And it's like bondoed up and there's duct tape wrapped around it and just like, you know, barely moves.
In my vision of the story, I imagine it to be purple and teal with yellow writing on it. For some reason, that's just what I picture in my head, is it's purple and teal. So anyway, lady pulls up on a jet ski, catches her husband blowing another dude. In his defense, the other dude was blowing him too, so it wasn't like he was like a complete, you know, just cocksucker. I mean,
it didn't specify if they were 69ing or not, so if they were like taking turns.
Maybe like she kind of hung back a little bit and watched for a little while to see that they were both blowing each other, because the story is very specific and says that they were performing oral sex on each other. So anyway, they get in a fight. He jumps on the jet ski, right?
Yeah.
They're fighting on the jet ski. He keeps throwing her off the jet ski, right? Because, you know, if you're in a fight with your wife who just caught you blowing a dude, you throw her off the jet ski.
There's no
but
better way.
But then she got back on the jet ski, threw her off the jet ski again. She gets on the jet ski four separate times, throws her off the jet ski.
He had to have been coming and circling back to pick her up, because if he's just like going, how is she getting back on that fucking jet ski?
Oh, my friends did that to me in high school. Like, I would get up to the door And then they would, like, drive a little way further so my hand would slip off the
door.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a bit out of shape, but I've tried getting back on jet skis without a guy angry with me on the jet ski. And it's difficult.
It's
difficult
easy.
To get back on a jet ski.
You know, every time I get into a fight with my woman, it's obviously while I'm half hard and covered in man slobber all over my knob.
So the fifth time he throws her off the jet ski, she hits her head. And she's pissed off. She says, fuck you, I'm not getting on the jet ski a fifth time. And he's probably like, well, good. I kept throwing you off the jet ski because I didn't want you on it. So he takes off. When he gets back to the shore, she's out in the river with a, or the lake or the ocean or wherever the fuck it was. I wasn't paying attention. He calls 911. He says, hey, my wife caught me blowing another dude. She's pretty upset about it. I took the jet ski. She's out in the water if you could go get her. So they take her to the hospital, and a couple days later, she dies.
Of a broken heart?
So...
Okay. I think it was her skull, but
whatever.
So the point of the story is they're trying to track down the fella who he was blowing for more information on the story.
What does that dude have to do with any of this? He was just trying to get his dick sucked.
Yeah, what the fuck? Exactly. Why bring this?
Well, he was a witness to, I guess, what is now a murder.
He couldn't have been a witness because he was still in the boat. Like he just fucking was laying down. You know, he probably fell asleep because he just got his dick sucked off. So he's just
you're kind of sleepy.
Yeah, so he just like dozes off in the boat. He doesn't know this crazy redneck is throwing his.
So
fucking
I guess
wife
he took off,
dock.
And I guess he took off. Because otherwise he would have been there to pick up the wife, right? I mean, she wouldn't have just, like, been out there in the water. He would have, like, taken her back to shore. She probably would have been pretty mad at him, though.
Unless that was his boat that he uses to pick up dudes to get blowies. That would be the greatest offshore blowy boat.
I wish we like, had the clout of that At Midnight show.
Yeah.
And we could start, like, the hashtag blowy boat names.
Oh, God, that'd be great.
Fuck, that would be great.
Hashtag blowy boat name.
Mike, what would your blowy boat be named?
I don't know. Long Dong Silver? Or no, that's pretty weak. I mean, it's the first thing that came to mind. I apologize. That was a bad joke.
The cum dumpster?
The Scully right? Monster?
Sheila?
Yeah.
I think blowy boat's a pretty good name.
How about deep boat?
The blowy buoy?
Mm-hmm.
Come 60, on, nothing 69 for deep boat?
Two times.
What did you say, Travis? I'm sorry.
Nothing for deep boat.
Deep boat?
Yeah.
Get it? See?
See, that's a thinker.
Yeah.
That's a thinker there.
All my semen. Oh, you couldn't name it Kids Ride for Free. No, they take you in for that shit.
Kids Ride for Free. It's not a good joke.
No, it's horrible. That's why nobody's laughing.
Crimson Tide.
Oh, that'd be like the menstruation boat.
Yeah.
All the ladies get on it to drink wine.
That's cunnilingus. That's the cunnilingus boat.
The cunnilingus boat.
Oh, it's added protein week. We're going to a Red Wings game. But Dad, it's the middle of July. Shut up.
Napier, we should have went to this thing with Travis, this Comic-Con thing in Chicago.
It's Flashback Weekend. It's a horror convention. Comic-Con's at the end of the month. I skipped that because
the horror convention.
Come, you can still come.
Gone to the horror convention, Napier.
Oh, we could have dressed up like gigolos and been looking around like, man, this
is... Like juggalos?
No, gigolos.
Gigolos?
Yeah, oh. And then just been really confused because you went to a horror convention.
Wow. Tickets are cheap. You should come. Like regular tickets.
You know, you could also use that for a horror convention poster.
Horror convention?
Yeah, tickets are cheap.
There was a
come.
Horror convention in Chicago a while back, and it was on my birthday.
Wasn't I going to go to that with somebody from Radio FUBAR?
Yeah, the guy from the side project was like, hey, we should go to this dildo convention. I was like, oh, that sounds fun.
The very first thing of when I think of dildo conventions is inviting all my dude friends out to go hang out at the dildo show.
Guys, want
to
go look at some dildos?
No, dude, it's a
good time.
It's going to be cool. We're going to get on a train. We're going to go up to Chicago, four dudes, and we're all going to buy tickets to the dildo show.
You guys, guys, seriously, you want to go look at some sex toys with me? That'll be fun, right?
It's all just going to be beads on strings.
Friend of mine one time bought a rubber vagina. He saw it in the back of one of those dirty magazines, and he thought it'd be fun to buy this rubber vagina. Stop me if I've told you this story before.
No.
So he gets the rubber vagina. He paid like $30 for it, and he took one look at it, and he said, eh, this rubber vagina, this isn't going to be for me. I don't like it. So he gave it to me. He said, here, man. Here's this rubber vagina. I'm regretting this purchase, and I'm not going to send it back. So here, just take it. I don't want it.
It's great that he thought of you first.
Yeah. Was it used?
No, he said he didn't use it. So he gave it to me, and so I had this rubber vagina, right? And I tried it once, and I didn't like it. It was kind of stupid. It seemed like a lot of work to go through just to, like, jack off. And I think jacking off felt better. And so I had this rubber vagina used once.
Yeah.
I mean, once isn't really enough to just, like, cast it off as, you know, used merchandise. I mean, you can clean that up still good, and it's as good as new, right?
Yeah, I used mom's vacuum cleaner for years.
No, I really think that one time is, that's a one-time use thing.
I washed it thoroughly.
You now own it,
and then I put it back in the box, and I put the plastic on it, and I threw it in the back of one of my friend's cars. One of my friends left his car door open, and I just threw it in the back seat of his car. He never brought it up, and like he never said, "Hey, I found this rubber vagina in my car." It never came up again, and I can't necessarily call him up. I mean, First of all, this was like 10 years ago. I can't like call him up and be like, hey, you remember that rubber vagina you found in the back of your car? Because, I mean, first of all, I don't know if he found it. His mom might have found it for all I know. I don't know where the fuck it is.
You should do that and record the conversation because that sounds like it would be excellent.
Do you remember that movie, Pay It Forward? This pussy's just been passed around from male to male all about St. Louis.
You track it down and it's like somewhere in South America.
I wish that there was like you know that where'sgeorge.com thing you get every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like you see it on a dollar and you can go to a website and put in the serial number and see everyone who's ever had it.
Yeah.
They should have that for rubber vaginas.
What is it? You stamp it like where'slydia.com.
Travis, I think that's his name. Have you seen it? Did you have it at some point? Did it get that far?
I never got it, but I heard it was like an urban legend.
Now, Travis, you just go out to your car one day and you get in and you're driving to work and you look in your back seat and there's a box with a large rubber vagina in the back of your car.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with it?
Well, first, if the vehicle actually was parked outside of your house, I would call you and be like, hey.
No, it wasn't parked outside of my house. It was at his house.
Oh, was that his?
He lived in the neighborhood.
Well, then I would think it was a gift from God.
I'd smell it first.
You'd smell it?
Yeah.
Smelled fine.
Well,
I'd smell like rubber. You think, oh, it's still in the plastic. It's new.
It would have to take a pretty solid beating to not smell like rubber anymore.
Right. But I mean, like, you just found this. It's not like something you purchased. It's not like someone gave it to you. You found it in the back of your car. You know you didn't buy it. What do you do with it?
If it's wrapped in plastic, I'm going to assume it's brand new, and I'd probably fuck it.
Napier, do you fuck the rubber vagina?
It's still wrapped in plastic?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know.
I mean, it's not like shrink wrapped and sealed. It's just like in a piece of plastic that you can take out of the plastic or put. Obviously, you could take it out because I took it out.
Is it like shoddily strung back together, like, you know, taking a used product back to Best Buy?
I think I washed it pretty thoroughly. I think I did a pretty good job.
But how does the next person know that? I guess you, like, you know, finger around inside.
See if there's anything, like, yeah. I mean, you could probably, like, turn it inside out and see if there is any evidence of any kind of misuse.
I guess so. Yeah, I'd look at, you'd, I'd give it once
you'd
over.
You'd give it a try?
Yeah.
See how it was? And I see the people do those fleshlight things, and I just always think back to that rubber vagina that I tried once, and I didn't like it. I thought it was a big waste of time. Jacking off's pretty great, guys. You don't need much else.
You really don't.
Unless it's pornography.
That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's my story.
It's a good story, Mike. I liked it.
I don't know how that came up. I assume, oh, we were talking about going to the dildo convention and checking out all the dildos. They probably have stuff like that, too. Like, I just imagine, like, you know, I used to go to, like, baseball card shows where they have, like, the table set up and, like, you can just kind of go browse all the cards in, like, their little individual plastic sleeves and, mm-hmm. like, you know, they all have prices written on them. Like, you just go and there's, like, a, you know, a big fat fella sitting there in a pair of glasses and, you know, like, his hair's starting to kind of thin out and he's just sitting there with his arms crossed and you go and you browse his collection of dildos and rubber vaginas and used porn DVDs, and they all have like a little stickers on them with written on in Bic pen prices, you know, $4.75 for this DVD. And you say, oh, is this a good one? And he kind of gives you a wink and says, don't know, never saw it, but you know, I saw it. And I just imagine being in this huge collection of all of these people that are all there. Like, I imagine that there's probably some people that are there non-ironically, but most people are probably there just to, like, have a good time with their friends and kind of like, ha, look at that big rubber dong over there. That's funny, right? And then, like, you elbow each other, and then you move on.
And then the next day, one of your friends comes back to, you know, purchase.
Right. Like, puts it on his Amazon wish list.
Yeah.
He shares only with guys who blow each other on boats.
Yeah, you're like, you got your friends, they're like, man, this is awesome. Oh, guy behind the counter, you should totally save this for me. I'm not coming back. No, dude, save it for me.
You just imagine. Oh, man.
Do you think there are people that go to those, like, sex toy conventions to pick up cheap floor models so that they can get stuff inside of them that everybody's had their hands on?
Like, at the end of the convention, you go get the ones that have been kind of, you know,
passed around,
futzed with.
I mean, what are they going to do with them? I mean, realistically, they can't, like, sell them. I mean,
they're going to have all of the porn stars sign them, and they're going to auction it off for charity.
Like when Best Buy has the out of box TV that's
the open box special.
Yeah,
70% off this used vagina.
I'd be so sad if, like, do you remember that one movie, The Sandlot, where the kid takes that signed Babe Ruth baseball and they all go out and play baseball with it? Wouldn't it just be, like, really upsetting if you get home after a long weekend and, you know, your wife's vagina smells like Bic pen and your collection of autographed dildos are all smudged? You know, like the beast got a hold of it and started chewing on it, except for his puss. See you in hell, faggots.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
No, Travis, we're back. We're back. I'm sorry. What was your zinger? You had a good one? Travis, we're back.
Don't get cocksure now.
I turned that shit off. I want to hear
your zinger. Oh, I had you muted. What was that?
No, let's hear your zinger.
I just muted you.
Let's hear your zinger.
I want to hear the zinger.
It's not a zinger anymore, and it would have had to have sat in the middle of that story.
No, no, we've reset. We're back.
We're not resetting.
Travis, I'm going to edit, and it's going to be the next thing.
It will never work.
No, this is going to work.
This is going to be great. I can't wait to hear it. It's going to be really good.
No, fuck that. No, I am not.
Going to be a great joke.
Come on, hang it all out.
Snake, bitch.
This is going to tie the whole goddamn show together. I mean, like, this show, I'd give this show a C. But Travis is going to take it up to a C+ with this joke. You ready? Here it comes.
It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, come on. You can't talk all that good smack down in the bar. And once I get you back to the hotel room.
Did you hear how confident he was in that joke? He goes, oh, man, you guys cut me off. I had a really good one. And then
see
we bring
hell,
it back.
Faggots.
We bring it back, and he won't even do it.
It's the time has passed. It's lost its moment. It's never going to work.
Yeah, I've been there. Sometimes she farts. And then you get real hard.
He's not going to do the joke?
No.
Nope.
What'd I cut off our thing for?
I don't know.
That was your idea.
Yeah, I didn't tell you to do that.
Bye, guys. This is the first month of Napier's Box of Disappointment featuring Travis.
All right, Travis, we're off. What was the joke?
What's that? Oh, I'm not sure. I forget what the wording was of it. It's not going to work.
Oh, come on. You can do it. We're not on the air anymore.
Oh, no, I know.
So just tell us what the joke was.
Well, believe me, I completely trust you. It was just a used vagina joke, you know? You married one, whatever. It's not...
Oh, you married one. See, that was pretty good.
Well, now I'm sad.
Oh.
It was better. You know, if we were on air and it was right in the middle of it, you know, it would have been better.
Yeah.
I had it locked and loaded, and Napier was in his tangent, and I was like, this is going to be fucking sweet. I'm going to unload this just fucking gold, and then Napier's going to say, see in hell, faggots, right after. You know, but whatever.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
And also see you in hell, faggots.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. We are live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on Radio FUBAR. You can download past episodes on Stitcher, iTunes, or our website, wfodicks.podbean.com. If there's any kinds of thumbs or stars that you can click for us, we do appreciate it. It does help with the visibility of the show. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can follow Drunk at DrunkardSTL. You can follow Travis at ProduceTravis. You can also follow some of our favorite Napier quotes at Napierisms. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at wfodshow@gmail.com or leave a voicemail message at 314-266-WFOD. Radio FUBAR is on 24 hours a day with great content. RadioFUBAR.com. Check out some of the other shows. Let them know that we sent you. There are shirts available in their shop. You can also click the Amazon link that will take you to Amazon.com where you can do your shopping as normal. It does help the station. They do get a kickback. It costs you no extra to do so. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week and tell a friend.
If I was feeling a little bit better at the end, I would have really fucking sold that pitch for Concrete Jungle. Because I love that goddamn movie, dude. Like, I fucking spent, like, weeks, like, tweeting
celebrities.
Travis, that
movie would make $1 billion.
$1.5 billion. At the very least, it would end up on the Sci-Fi Network, and it would be way bigger than Sharknado. I fucking guarantee it. They would rush part two into production where, at the very end, like, the stinger at the end of the first Concrete Jungle is you see a bunch of little baby tigers, like, just waking up or something.
Oh.
And then it's fucking Concrete Jungle 2. Yeah. Concrete Jungle 2, the litter hatch or some shit like that. You know what I mean? So then fucking Concrete Jungle is like, it's now it's, if it's really in Toronto, then that means it's spreading to Quebec and Montreal. You know what I mean?
Calgary?
Fucking Calgary. It's Calgary? Everywhere. Whatever it is.
Moose Calgary?
Manitoba?
Don't forget
Manitoba?
Don't forget Moose Jaw.
Get Moose
Jaw? And it
jaw?
Finally, it comes down into Superior, I think. I think they crossed the peninsula
Swimming across the goddamn Superior.
Yeah, come to Superior. I think they're giant tigers, so I think they'll be able to get there pretty quick.
Since it's a whole bunch of pussies, can they be called the Moose Knuckle Alliance?
That's part three.
Yeah, there'll be a superhero group.
Concrete Jungle 3, the Moose Knuckle Alliance.
Yes.
I don't think she wants to make our tiger movie, though. I think she's just being nice.
That's fine. She said she liked B-movies. This is not a B-movie, though. That's what she didn't understand.
She's calling our movie a B-movie?
This is a fucking blockbuster. A summer blockbuster.
God damn it.
Maybe she likes to watch B-movies, not participate in them.
But this isn't a B-movie, goddamn. It's a fucking summer blockbuster. This is going to be released in, like, the middle of August.